You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and I have the privilege and the honor of having a conversation with the studio manager of Yoga for Fitness, Ms. Danielle Rush. Hey, Danielle.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us today. And so what we want to do typically, we kind of talk about, you know, who you are, your family, personal life. I want to talk about how you got into the business that you are in. Of course, this is the Winning Edge podcast for our BNI chapter, and so we want to talk about BNI a little bit, kind of what you're doing in the chapter and even outside the chapter in the BNI world. And then, of course, we want to know what are some good referrals for you, who you can help, your clients, so that, you know, hopefully some folks maybe listening can find you and get the benefit that you provide. And then finally, we'll shut down the episode with kind of a quick rapid fire section, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Very good. So here we go. Danielle, tell me about your family a little bit.
I am married to Jack. We have four children. We're a blended family. Hunter is 20. Madison is 26. Morgan is 28. Rory's 31. And Rory has blessed us with two grandchildren, Avery 4 and Quinn 3.
And you are currently living here, obviously, in Spring Hill, Florida. But you come from where?
I come from Northern Virginia. Okay. I grew up there my whole life, and I've been in Spring Hill for just over a year.
How do you like it?
I love it. I think that I'm awesome, so everywhere I go becomes awesome.
I like it.
It is what you make it.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have quite a few hobbies. So let's kind of talk about those a little bit. Let's first start with art. So you're
yes,
an artist.
I am.
Yeah, talk about that.
I have an art degree, and I am a retired art teacher. I owned an art studio where I taught drawing and painting. Sold my artwork, so art's always been a big part of my life. I started when I was 14 painting with Bob Ross.
Oh, on TV?
I did,
he's,
yeah.
He's the bomb.
Bob he Ross is amazing. Pretty chill out.
That's right. Pretty awesome stuff. Now, one thing I will just throw in right here is you've actually written a children's book. You're in the process. You want to get that published. You're just waiting on the illustrations to get done. And unfortunately, right now, the illustrator is a bit busy. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. But you are going to be doing the illustrations
yes,
for that book, right?
I will be.
In addition to that, some other things that you like to do. You mentioned cooking is something you like to do.
It is.
Yeah, it's like a passion for you? Or?
It was a job. I was a corporate chef for 7 years for Norfolk Southern, the freight rail company.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I worked. I actually cooked. My dining room was a train.
Say that again.
My dining room was a train.
Uh-huh.
It was FDR, the president. It's 1926 Pullman car that was parked in Union Station in D.C.
That's pretty neat.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great piece of history.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful car.
Yeah, absolutely. And in addition to that, you do like to read and listen to audiobooks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something that you do quite a bit?
Quite a bit.
Have you always done that?
I don't know. I guess I came into Audible.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess about a year or so ago. But yes, I've always been a reader and a book collector. And I found I was collecting more books than I could keep up with. Audible kind of saved me.
Yeah, absolutely. saves a lot of space. Is it fiction, nonfiction, a little bit of both?
I had to come into fiction later in life.
Okay.
I think I'm kind of obsessed with education, so mm-hmm, I was doing a lot of nonfiction, mostly in the health and fitness, mm-hmm, nutrition kind of realm, learning new skills. But I got back into fiction within the last 3 years or so, and I've always loved murder mysteries and solving crimes.
Now, I'm going to throw you for a loop here a little bit. We didn't talk about this leading up to this, but there's another podcast that I do. We're getting ready to actually interview an author who wrote a book on reading well, is what the book's called. Dr. Pryor is her name.
Oh.
And anyhow, she talks about the importance of reading fiction and, you know, literature and all those types of things. And so tell me real quick why reading fiction in particular is helpful.
I think your imagination,
mm-hmm,
and just from a brain chemistry point of view, working out the brain in a different way, and stress reduction, you're literally going into another world.
Yeah.
My grandma would say that was the same thing her soap operas were doing for her.
Okay.
So that just the joy, you know, that time away from the world.
Yeah, I got you. You obviously enjoy education, as you kind of already mentioned. There, you actually are an educator. We're an educator.
I
still are.
Yes,
I would argue.
Absolutely, 25 years.
Yeah. And then there's also a couple of K's, karaoke and kayaking. Let's start with kayaking for a moment.
Yes.
Talk about that.
So the art school that I ran in Virginia was on the Occoquan River. If I walked out the back door of my school, there was a river. I could hop in a kayak as for lunch.
Yeah.
So moving to Florida, it's something we want to get into.
Is that more exercise? Is it for just kind of getting out into nature? A little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I think it's great core strength. Sometimes we get a double. I put my husband in the back and I tell him he's not allowed to row, and that's my workout.
Oh, okay, okay. All right. Yeah.
Then sometimes it's just me, and it is really peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And then finally, karaoke. So you're a singer?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you pretty good?
I'm amazing.
I am tempted to have you sing.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want it recorded forever.
All right, fair enough.
I'm amazing.
Maybe I'll have you back and we'll do that down the road. But you do have a pretty cool karaoke story involving Jack, right?
Your husband. Tell us about that. So my husband and I actually met at a karaoke restaurant. And we were just chatting and he thought he would be able to make fun of the singers. And I said, oh, yeah. And I got up and sang and I'm amazing, as I said. So fooled him. And 2 years later, I knew he was going to ask me to marry me. I had picked out the ring, and yet he still absolutely surprised me by saying, why don't you have a girls' night? Just invite your friends and let's go do karaoke. So we organized a girls' night at a karaoke bar. I've got all my friends around, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to sing. Okay. I picked a song. It's a country song, Breakdown Here by Julie Roberts. And I sang it, and I thought, oh, these people don't like country music. Why did I do that? I walk off the stage, and there's my husband down on one knee with all my girlfriends around, ready to propose. And my brain is still like, what are you doing down there? I finally figured out what was going on. I did say yes.
And you said yes.
Yeah. I did. Then it was like, baby, can you help me get up?
Right. The knees, the back.
Yes.
That's a pretty cool story. And how long ago was that? How long have I been married now?
We've been married 7 years in February.
Very cool. Congratulations. Let's do this. Let's kind of shift gears a little bit away from your personal life, and let's talk a little bit about your business, in particular Yoga for Fitness. The studio is actually located on County Line Road at the Shops at Avalon. Is that right?
Yes.
And you, as we've mentioned, you serve as a studio manager, and you also are a yoga teacher.
Yes.
All right. Talk about what you do there a little bit.
I teach 5 classes a week, including 2 yoga classes, 3 bar classes.
Now, I am not a yogi, right? Is that a yoga teacher? Right? Is that what they're called, yogis?
Yep. Yoga practitioners, anyone who does yoga regularly.
Okay, so that's not me on either front. I've done yoga through like P90X, kind of stuff. Yeah, I can't believe how much I sweat just standing still in those different poses. Pretty amazing. But anyways, yoga, I kind of get a sense of what that is. What about bar? What is bar?
So bar is referencing ballet bar.
Okay.
And basically, this is the conditioning exercises that ballerinas would have done, still do. But it's a bit of a fusion, and different teachers have put their twist on it. It is a mixture of ballet, Pilates, yoga, and strength training.
Okay, all right.
So we could be doing push-ups and lunges, but we could also be at a ballet bar doing leg lifts, releves, which would be similar to like a calf raise at the gym. And you can get your heart rate up, or you can go slow and steady and just be lifting light weights.
Mm-hmm. Now you've been teaching yoga for about 4 years now.
Yes.
But you've been in nutrition or fitness for 18 years.
Yes.
So you kind of bring an added element to yoga.
Yeah. I tell people that I'm like a yoga teacher and a personal trainer that walked into the bar.
Okay.
And kind of a mixture of everything. And I think that background serves me well. I have a very strong understanding of anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of background of working with different clients.
Sure.
So
what? How did we get to Yoga for Fitness here in Spring Hill? What was kind of the path, the route to get here?
Driving?
How did you?
I have to use my GPS. Yeah. I feel like everywhere around
that's
here.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You've been teaching yoga for 4 years now.
Yes.
And obviously, when you moved here, you started looking for what you were going to do here. And so, how did that all come about?
So my strategy to find a yoga studio.
So you get on US 19,
very literal.
75, and
right. Very literal. No. Okay. So my strategy when I moved here was to take yoga classes at gyms and yoga studios. And I think it's smart business if you take a yoga class with the owner.
Okay.
So I went on, I researched, I found out who the owner was. Someone told me about that a new yoga studio had just opened up, Yoga for Fitness. So I went online, I found out who the owner was, and I went on the schedule. And when I found her name, I picked a class I wanted. I walked into the studio. It had only been opened a month. I told her I was a yoga teacher, and she was like, do you want a job? I'm desperate. So it fell into my lap in that
respect. So she actually had you teach her, right, during that class,
yes,
right?
It was actually pretty interesting. I and she, no one else came to the class mm-hmm. that I was scheduled for mm-hmm. because it was on
so
the
new
books.
And everything, right?
Yeah, so I taught a class to her right there in the spot. And she hired me. I went away for the holidays, came back, started the first week of January. About mid-February, I noticed some things that weren't getting done. I've owned businesses before, and she travels for work anywhere from 1 to 4 days a week.
Okay.
And I noticed some things. I thought, you know, I can really help you do this, mm-hmm. and I'd like to talk over with you. Mm-hmm. And she agreed, and we work really well together. We complement each other in different ways. Mm-hmm.
And to kind of back up a little bit, you mentioned you've been in different businesses. 2012, you yes. opened an event design company.
I did.
All right. 2013, you got married.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 2014, you opened up a B&M retail.
Brick and mortar.
Brick and mortar. Okay, yep. What is that? What was that?
A retail shop. That was the art. I taught art lessons and sold art supplies.
Right. And then 2015, you started grad school.
I did.
And what were you studying?
The topic is creative studies, okay. and my thesis was artistic meditation. Okay. So it was meditating while you're painting.
Okay. All right. Now, I've seen folks do these classes. You go for an evening or whatever, and,
yes.
and you paint. Have you ever done that kind of thing?
I did. That was about 50% of the business.
Oh, so that was part of something that
it
you
was.
Did. Oh,
yeah. Okay. That's it's cool. a good way to bring in money, but more importantly, it's a good way to be out in the community mm-hmm. to get people who might be interested in a more serious art path. Mm-hmm.
And just along those lines, you know, I'm not a very artistic individual, right? Mm-hmm. Stick figures is about the extent of what I do. So do you feel people are capable of doing more as far as art goes
yes.
with a little bit of training, a little bit of education?
I feel that art is a skill just mm-hmm. like everything else.
Okay.
I have people that would get frustrated because they think they should have been born with it. Mm-hmm. Talent is just you put the effort in.
Mm-hmm.
You may move faster because you are more willing to practice. Or you had a certain setup in life, like your parents encouraged you a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can learn to do art if they have the interest and the time put into it.
Right. Now, so you're in 2015, you start grad school.
Yeah.
You mentioned there's some stress that's involved in that time. You start experiencing some panic attacks and things.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, that was a difficult time. As you can see, I'm an overachiever, and that's actually not even all of it. The work continued. Every year I was adding something new, the business was growing, and I was just really getting overwhelmed. And because I'd been in fitness, I knew that yoga was helpful. I'd just never done it consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So I started 10 minutes a day going into the spare bedroom and having a yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
It included meditation, which led to me just into a time of prayer. I mean, I did morning devotion anyway, mm-hmm. so I kind of started blending them together.
Okay.
Did the yoga practice, did my morning prayers, and then I realized I don't want to leave this room because it's the only quiet place in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I started bringing my planner. I owned a business. Mm-hmm. I had a planner of all my appointments for the day. I started bringing the planner in there and then spending a little more time reviewing my planner, going through my to-do list. Then I would walk out of the room, take a shower, have breakfast with my husband, and I found that my entire day was different. I'd exercised, even if it was just for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to, I want to exercise more.
Mm-hmm.
I want to plan more. I want to do more. I'm more motivated. I see this making a difference. And that was just a positive change in my life.
Mm-hmm. And it's changed, would you say it's changed the trajectory of your life in any way? Or is it now
yes.
more helpful for you to help others when they're going through maybe
yes.
seasons of their life with that added stress and things?
Absolutely. It taught me two things, number one, several things, but one, just 10 minutes a day
mm-hmm.
of yoga and quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it happened to bring me closer to God because,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people meditate, it's just focusing on one thing. It doesn't matter what you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was, that time was peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a wonderful relationship with yourself and with whatever divine spirit you want.
Mm-hmm.
And also the planner. When I started bringing my to-do list and my planner in, just spending 5 days to prioritize, decide the order I was going to go through everything, I wasn't so, what do I do now? I knew what I was going to do. When I got to the office, I knew exactly what had to be done because I'd spent time already reviewing
mm-hmm.
it. I also learned over a period of time that scheduling your breaks, like take a lunch break,
mm-hmm.
even if it's 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
take a break for downtime. It really taught me time management. was one of the biggest take homes for stress reduction for me.
Okay. And obviously because of your personal experience doing these things, that has led to kind of you being really passionate about this business, which has led you to where you are today.
Absolutely.
Right? So, you know, as far as, you know, goals, you know, for your business in particular, you know, 1, 3, 5 year, even 10 year goals, what does that look like for you?
This year, we really want to grow the studio membership. We're 1 year old, and it does take, you know, they say 3 years, and I have had experience with that in Virginia, of course, but get the studio membership, the numbers up, the class sizes up. From there, I personally want to continue my training. I've got two trainings on the books for next year, and increase my speaking engagements and workshops, just getting out in the community. I've already done a handful while I've been here, and it's been great.
So talk about that a little bit. So when you get out in front of folks, who are you looking to get in front of?
So if it's in the studio, it could be just a variety of topics. I do a lot with low back pain, women's health and infertility, stress reduction, and weight loss are my primary focuses.
Okay.
If somebody comes to me for something else, I may be able to do it, or I would refer.
Okay.
But those are my four main ones. And so I do workshops on those. I could do a workshop for low back pain for the professional. So someone who maybe sits all day, I could talk to them about how we could do a whole group or an office.
Right.
Lately, I've been going outside the studio, and I've had a great turnout. I just did NAMI, which is the National Alliance for Mental Illness. It does a lunch and learn on Fridays.
Okay.
And I just spoke to about 35 or 40 people, and it is their number one attended function, that the lunch and learn. The most people were there that they've had to date.
Okay, wow.
And I'll be going back to talk to them again in May after I am going to Charleston, South Carolina for a certification, yoga for mental illness and wellness.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. For what I do, I represent a lot of individuals who suffer from mental illness. Could be veterans, could be you know, individuals that their the mental health, you know, major depressive disorder, you know, generalized anxiety disorder, you know, panic attacks, so on and so forth. And it's so bad it prevents them from being able to work. Sometimes, you know, you noted you were experiencing a panic attack, kind of feeling overwhelmed there several years ago. So you believe this is one way to kind of cope with that the mental health.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you ever teamed up with, you know, any counselors or anything like that to kind of really further that at all? Is that something you ever looked into or thought about?
Yes, actually, I plan my 30 seconds ahead of time for BNI, our weekly presentations, and it is on the list the next.
Oh, okay.
To start, I want to research who are our mental health counselors, and I was going to go to Tina, the director at NAMI, help me find some names so that I can be a referral source to them.
Absolutely.
So
Very cool. And then, you know, we've mentioned BNI a few times. You're a fairly new member. Actually, you just celebrated 6 months in the chapter. So again, congratulations there. May of this year is when you joined the group. How did you find out about BNI? Before you answer that question, let me ask you this. Did you ever do any networking up to, you know, this year? Is that something that's kind of been a part of your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Two things. I was part of the Merchants Guild in where my art school was. All of the, you could pay a nominal fee for the year, and we did networking events. And the greatest thing about that was that we learned about each other's businesses so strongly, so that if someone walked into my store and had a question, I know which store to send them to.
I got you.
And that was great. We actually toured each other's store. The town is only a mile and a half long, so twice a year we all got together and went into each person's store and let them talk.
Okay.
As well as monthly events. Mm-hmm. So it was really great. And the other thing, I was actually a bartender. And that is a great networking job.
Yeah.
When you are paid to chat with people and you find out what they need. And I realize I have what you need because I talk to that person every Thursday.
Sure.
So I learned a lot about networking being a bartender, actually. Yeah. It was a really great experience.
So you moved down here to Spring Hill, Florida, and are you seeking out a BNI group in particular? How did you find out about BNI?
Well, in 2014, I was invited to a BNI meeting because of the art school. I went to it, and I remember I'm stressed, and I'm broke. I just opened a business.
Right.
I think these people are crazy, so it was not the right time for me. I didn't do anything with it. I moved down here. I'm managing a yoga studio. It's only been open a year. I've got to do something. And on social media, my web designer that runs my personal brand websites, he's very active about using social media to help gain referrals for his BNI chapter. Mm-hmm. And I really admire him. And I saw, wait a minute, BNI. Oh, yeah. So I Googled BNI in Spring Hill, and I registered myself for the Winning Edge for a meeting.
Yep.
And walked in.
Came in, the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And up to date, again, it's been 6 months, but kind of what is your the most positive BNI moment you've had to date?
Getting the notification that I had been selected as a member success program trainer.
So for anybody maybe listening that's not in the BNI world, when you join a BNI chapter, there's a requirement to go through MSP or membership mm-hmm. success training, right? So it's called
yes.
membership success program
yes.
training. And you are now one of those trainers.
Yes.
All right. Very good. And what does that process look like? So if you have a new member, somebody maybe contemplating joining BNI, or maybe even a new member that hasn't gone through member success training yet, what might you tell them to kind of give them a little, preview of what to expect?
So member success is like your boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
BNI is overwhelming in the beginning. You're getting a lot of information. There's a lingo, kind yeah. of like a language,
yeah.
like we're speaking. You're like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
We encourage everyone, I think, within 60, but in actually we mean 30 days,
mm-hmm.
get to your member success program training for the month. It's 3 hours. It counts as one of your CEUs that you're going to do during the week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we go through all of these different programs. What does a weekly presentation look like? What does the I have portion of the meeting look like? What are the policies, the guidelines for you? What do you need to know in order to be successful?
Mm-hmm.
Member success.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think it's a great way. We're here to meet people.
Yeah.
So it's another opportunity to network and engage and find other businesses that you can work with.
Outside of your chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Local to the area, but maybe not directly in your area.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, get to meet different individuals that way. Now, let me ask you another question. There's BNI University, which I know you've
yes.
used quite a bit, right?
I am number one.
Very well, congratulations.
Yeah.
And BNI University is basically an online app, just a wealth of information. I think you alluded to that a few minutes ago. And I believe now for MSP training, you can actually do the training through the app.
Yes.
However, my guess is you would strongly encourage individuals to get out to the in-person
yes.
training. Is that right?
Yeah, I strongly encourage everyone to do both.
Okay, good.
And here's a couple of reasons. Number one, the one online, it's longer
mm-hmm.
and it's thorough,
mm-hmm.
but it's global.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas the one when you go in person is going to be really about your area,
right.
your culture,
right.
your specific chapter, your region. But it's only 3 hours
mm-hmm.
versus the one online is many more. I don't remember
yeah.
how many.
Yeah.
So it also, as being a teacher for 25 years, everybody learns in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, if you can do both,
yeah.
great. You'll definitely get everything. If something didn't stick in one, you'll hit it in the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, you don't understand a concept, and the one online does cover some topics that the one in person doesn't, but you're going to meet somebody, and meeting one person can change your life,
mm-hmm.
now, business-wise.
How long ago did you get selected to begin doing this? Approximately.
I think
a month ago?
Probably September.
Okay.
I taught my first one in October.
Okay.
Right now, Patricia Laird, my MSP trainer partner.
Mm-hmm.
We are currently going through the training with Tiffany Kellogg of Ascentive.
Okay.
She's doing it. We're going through all of our training, but then in January it's handed over to us.
Now it's obviously we're super early. You're kind of in that process currently. Is there anything that you have identified just by going through that process that maybe you wouldn't have had you not agreed to take on this extra kind of leadership role within BNI? Would you say there's anything that you've learned that you wouldn't have already known up to this point?
Oh, goodness.
It's kind of just reiterating kind of the things that
yeah.
you're learning week in, week out.
Oh, yeah, totally. I see what you're saying. New topics.
Let me ask it a different way. So if there's other BNI members, whether it's in the Winning Edge or in other chapters, who might be considering doing the MSP training, mm-hmm. right, actually becoming a trainer,
yeah.
Applying for that, why would you recommend that they take that step?
Oh, the credibility.
Okay.
Credibility is number one. But also, I'm interested. One of my goals is online coaching.
Okay.
So I now can teach everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I can do FaceTime and, you know, help you find resources. I think the referring, we can refer to people outside mm-hmm. of our, that, you know, finding more referrals for people, mm-hmm. finding people who knows who, mm-hmm. that is the number one reason, the credibility.
So again, yeah. onto the nutrition side, the yoga side in yeah. particular, you mentioned online training. Yes. The online training you're talking about is specifically yoga training, or are you talking about other types of training?
Time management, goal setting, okay. nutrition is okay. totally fine. You can email me what you ate every day, and I will tell you mm-hmm. if it was right or wrong. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of Peloton?
I have. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the biking,
yeah. yeah. And now I think the thing that sets that apart from other bikes that maybe you've gotten is you can tap into live training sessions, mm-hmm. I believe, right?
Yeah.
That are happening all over the country, I guess maybe mm-hmm. potentially all over the world. Do you kind of sense that that's kind of where nutrition and training is heading in more of that kind of online world as well? Or do you think there's always going to be a place for, you know, like a studio like yeah. you're involved in? Or you see kind of a both, kind of a blending of the both?
I think it has to be a both because I hear from people all the time, oh, I can't work out at home. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people have to leave the house. They
yeah.
need that structure.
Yeah.
Or they've got kids running around, or they don't have a space. They don't want to buy the equipment. I think there are people learn in different ways, especially with working out. The number one I tell people is, what is going to make you successful? I could tell you to work out at 6 a.m. every day, mm-hmm. but if 6 a.m. isn't your sweet spot,
yeah.
you're not going to do it.
Right. So, right. No, that yeah. makes sense. Now, obviously, you're all in with BNI, right? Six
oh,
months
I am
in, and
so...
and yeah. Well, no, and that's a good thing. But let me ask you this: so far, has BNI? Have you noticed that BNI has helped your business?
Yes, I have, and okay. I really feel like my business is just a perfect case for the referral confidence curve. It's, you know, I have a low risk profession. Financially, you could take one class. It's only going to be about $10 to $12. Roughly. And I'm working very hard. I'm on the credibility train. Mm-hmm. I have worked hard to make sure that my credibility is yeah. good. So if you're working on your credibility, and I'm a particularly low risk, obviously someone like a real estate agent or a wealth investor, it takes longer maybe for them to move up. But I have a good profession that's just a low risk. Mm-hmm. So over time, the quality, the size of your referrals gets better. And that's what it's been for me. The interesting thing was I did MSP online first mm-hmm. and then I went in person because I've got to get right into it. Yep. I didn't have time to wait.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah.
So I did, they have a goal sheet where you set up how much money do you want to make? And no, you know, my classes are only $10, mm-hmm. you know, anywhere mm-hmm. from $5 to $13. Mm-hmm. So it's low cost, yep. but I set a number that I wanted to make every month and I hit it. Last month, I went over it.
Wow.
So great. I can see, okay, now that I've got how this works, I kind of can see what I need to do next year's goal. I need to like at least double it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. And you know, you mentioned that on the credibility, you know, train or mm-hmm. credibility track, those things. We have the VCP process, right? The visibility, yes. credibility, leads to profitability.
Yes.
You got to show up. You got to meet yeah. meeting folks. And with the BNI, the structure is you also meet outside of the meetings with the one-to-ones.
Yes.
You're building the credibility that way mm-hmm. by showing up on time, by scheduling all those, by doing what you say you're going to do, by following up with
yeah.
referrals. And eventually, that's going to lead to what you just
yeah.
mentioned, where you're setting goals. And not only are you reaching those goals, but you're exceeding those goals.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's great that that's what you've seen there. Now, yeah, has BNI helped you in ways that maybe you wouldn't have considered at the outset?
Absolutely. I don't think I knew the education that was going to be offered, mm-hmm. number one. And mm-hmm. obviously, I make a joke, I'm number one. But BNI University, I got my master's degree and my bachelor's degree. I both did online. So
mm-hmm.
online learning is my jam.
Yeah.
So that was a great resource. But also the motivation. And I'm a weird 50-50. I love business. I'm a teacher. I've been an educator for 25 years, so I'm structured, but yet I'm a yoga teacher and an artist, so I'm kind of love everybody,
mm-hmm.
love the flowers, let's go, you know, paint and be nice to everybody. The two sometimes have an issue. So I've always had something that was structured. I was in school, so that kept me grounded.
Mm-hmm.
I owned a brick-and-mortar store. I had
right.
to go to it. That kept me grounded.
Yeah.
Now BNI mm-hmm. is the reason. I mean, it's... You have to do your weekly goals. You
mm-hmm.
have to maintain you have to plan ahead. You have to do what you need to do. And that structure that it has provided to me, it's also, I guess, motivation or bravery is the word. So in BNI, we do one-to-ones. We meet with our business partners. Well, why can't I meet with people who aren't in one-to-one? Mm-hmm. I can ask someone that I'm interested in doing business with to have coffee with me.
Absolutely.
A perfect example is Dr. Sam Robinson, mm-hmm. the chiropractor in our group. Mm-hmm. He wants to meet more doctors, more MDs.
Yeah.
I adore my MD. Like, mm-hmm. she's the nicest person. I hate that she's only my doctor. Like, I want to hang out with her.
Yeah.
He said he wants to meet doctors. And I thought, you know what? I can do this. I'm just going to ask my doctor to have coffee with me.
Yeah.
So our schedules have been a little hectic right now. So we're still trying to get together. But mm-hmm. the bravery, like, I never would have asked a doctor that I'm 45. I never would have thought that was something I could do.
Right.
But she's so nice. She was like, yes, I'd love to.
Yeah.
So just knowing that I can call up or talk to people like, hey, let's grab coffee and talk mm-hmm. about how we can work together. Mm-hmm. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. 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 No, I there's a lot of ways I think, initially going into B&I, I think there's some perceptions. This is what it is and this is what it's not. There's so much that I've gotten out of B&I outside of the referrals. We've certainly gotten many referrals and led to thank you for closed business, all of those things. But the friendships, the relationships, and a lot of the other things. There's so many things that have come out of B&I for the positive. And anyway, no, that's good. Now, what I want to do is kind of shift gears a little bit. I want to know who it is that you can help. You've kind of talked through that as we've gone through this, but let's get a little bit more specific. You know, who are your clients in particular? And potential, clients of yours who may be listening, who would that be?
Number one, I'm looking for people who are ready to make a commitment.
Okay.
They.
So I want to lose weight. I come to you and say, hey, I want to lose weight. What happens?
I get you set up on the classes. We take a look, and the first thing we're going to do is tell me your goals, because mm-hmm. they need to be SMART, mm-hmm. specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and time bound.
Okay.
So we're going to break down what your goals specifically are. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to look at your schedule. Mm-hmm. So what are some barriers?
And what if I tell you I simply don't have time to work out, but I want to lose weight?
Then I don't know that you're ready to commit.
Okay. So again, when you say those who are ready to commit, and specifically those who are realistically ready to do whatever they got to do to prioritize, I want to lose weight, or I want to get fit, or I want to, be better,
I'm
whatever
stressed.
It may be.
Yeah, I want to, I want to get moving.
And you're willing to make changes.
Yes.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So life gets in the way for all of us, mm-hmm. but I want to know that you're willing to talk it out with me. Even if life gets in the way, we can figure it out. Mm-hmm. If you're committed, we can figure it out. If you're not, it's going to be a challenge.
Right.
Secondly, I'm looking for people who sit all day at work.
Okay.
Sitting is one of the worst things for your body.
Yeah.
Your spine is compressed the most, mm-hmm. smushing mm-hmm. the spaces in your vertebrae mm-hmm. the most when you sit for too long. Mm-hmm. So getting up and moving, I'm looking for those people.
So let me just ask you a question. Obviously we're here in my office, and you can see
we have a lot of chairs.
We sit a lot, but there's those like ergonomic, type of desk where you stand up.
Yes.
So you would recommend that?
I do.
And so standing is actually better than the sitting.
The number one way to take pressure off your spine is laying down.
Okay.
The second is standing.
Okay.
The worst is sitting.
Is sitting, okay. Yeah. So those desks, figuring out a way to lift your desk up, stand, continue to work, but doing it at a standing position would be helpful.
I do. Okay. I do it. All right. I do it at home in the kitchen, mm-hmm. and I cook. I cook about 85% of our meals mm-hmm. I'm making. So I cook a meal. I tap work on the computer.
Yeah.
Clean up the kitchen. Work on the computer.
Standing.
Yeah.
Standing. Yeah. I don't think I'll get away with lying down in the office, but the standing would be the second best option.
You could get a yoga mat in here if you got rid of some chairs.
that's probably true. All right. So what? Who else?
Let's see. Also, so anyone with therapeutic or physical concerns mm-hmm. can schedule private sessions. And also, I really love beginners and people who think that yoga is scary.
Okay.
I hear all the time, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's like saying I can't go to kindergarten because I don't know how to read.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you're going to kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
You come, and not only that, but flexibility is not the only goal in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about stress reduction, but it also builds incredible strength. And what people don't realize is a lot of times that your muscles are tight because they are weak.
Mm-hmm.
When something is not strong enough to handle what you're putting it through, it guards and seizes up. It shortens.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing people to strengthen and stretch and also calm down, the hormone response, your body is in just a disarray.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to bring it back to homeostasis. That's what yoga does.
So you have somebody who comes in and says, yeah, I've never done yoga before. I'm afraid of it. I'm a beginner.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into a class where there's other folks, you know, they're going to watch me. That's okay.
Yes.
And you would basically tailor make a class for that individual.
Yeah.
One-on-one training.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. And then an ideal client.
The ideal client already is used to working out, or maybe they were an athlete, mm-hmm. Something in their character that they're already used to. Mm-hmm. I like people who work from home because they're already used to being structured. They have a set, you know, if you've been working home from a long time, you don't let children and laundry and TV distract you.
Right.
You're used to being
sense.
On a schedule. So mm-hmm. I love people that have a schedule. Busy people are the greatest because they're obviously doing a lot. Because they know how to manage their time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And the next question I have here is, how do you help your clients? I mean, I think you've kind of walked through that, how you can do that. In addition to the yoga, in addition to the fitness and the nutrition, you also, again, the time management is something that you can help quite a bit as well. All right. And then if somebody wants to get a hold of Danielle Rush, what do they do? How do they get a hold of you?
I manage the Facebook page for Yoga for Fitness.
Okay.
So if you go in there, it's going to be either me or Christina Miro is the owner of the studio. Mm-hmm. So most of the time it's me, but you're always going to get somebody fairly quick since two people are managing it.
Okay.
That's great.
I don't want to go on Facebook. If somebody's out there, I don't want to go on Facebook. What's another
way? No problem. You're probably stress-free if you're off Facebook.
Yeah.
My email address is Danielle. That's Danielle at redlifeyoga.com.
Redlife, redlifeyoga.com.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. And last thing before we get to the rapid fire section, and that is this. What are some triggers that I can listen for that other folks in our chapter can listen for in order to, help our friends and family members who may benefit from your services?
If someone says they're looking to lose weight,
mm-hmm.
the great thing about our studio is that it does have a variety of classes. We have Zumba.
Mm-hmm.
Bar strength training and mm-hmm. yoga. So you get your cardio, your flexibility, your strength training, and your stress reduction all in one place. So additionally, if someone is stressed out and needs to try something different, also painful areas, if they're rubbing their back from a backache or shoulders, their traps, so above their neck, or if they've actually had an injury that is limiting their movement in some
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
So rubbing, aching, complaining. A lot of complaining.
Yeah, yeah. So we see, it makes sense. So we see those things, and we can give them your email address or Facebook page, and they'd be able to contact you at that point.
Yes.
In particular, one of the types of clients that I represent are veterans. We have Veterans Day coming up mm-hmm. next week. You actually have an event at your studio?
I do. We have a community yoga class that mm-hmm. we're offering for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 11 to 12 on Monday.
Okay.
And it's for all levels. And just join us.
All right. And then there's also a class that you had mentioned that's available for veterans in Brooksville. You want to mention that real quick?
Actually, Brooksville Yoga Company is another yoga studio that I'm not related to, but I know that on Main Street they have a pop-up location, mm-hmm. and they do a Warrior at Ease program.
Okay.
And that is Wednesdays. I'm not sure of the time, though.
But okay.
Brooksville Yoga Company.
Okay.
Their schedule's online.
Very cool. And then there is one more event, Happy and Healthy Through the Holidays with Danielle. What is that for?
It's a six-week program that I tailored November 15th through January 3rd. The holidays are one of the most stressful time of the year. It's not always a happy time for everyone. It's also a lot of food, a lot of temptation, which it's great to celebrate, but mm-hmm. we have to indulge in moderation and still maintain. We don't want to gain weight through the holidays. We don't want to be more stressed out.
Yeah.
I love Christmas, and we should all be – it should be a positive experience.
Yeah.
So this is just me working, helping you get through accountability, time management, goal setting, nutrition coaching, exercise planning, stress reduction. We're going to look at what you particularly need, and I'm going to help give you the resources to reach your goals.
All right. And we've just got a few more minutes left, so what we're going to do now is the rapid fire section. All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right. buckle up, right?
Okay.
All right. What is the best book, it could be business, networking, or otherwise, that you have ever read?
11/22/63 by Stephen King.
That's a horror novel, I guess, huh?
No, and that is why I love it. It is time travel, history, and a love story. He's gone off his usual path, and it is a great book.
All right. And then what about the most important networking trait, in your opinion?
Positive attitude.
Why?
Because you don't want to be around anybody complaining.
Yeah.
You just, yeah. It's just no Debbie Downers.
Yeah.
We've got to, you know, I want to be around other people.
Right.
That are positive.
Yeah, that positive attitude. Yeah. All right. If you could go back in time and talk to the younger Danielle, mm-hmm. What is one networking secret that you now know that you wish you had known sooner?
Listen to learn.
All right. What do you mean by that?
So there's two things. When someone is talking, you want to listen. So often we're listening to reply, and we all struggle. I know I did for years. I'm still always on my mind is on listen, listen, listen. But also learning to pay attention when you're at a function, at a group. I'm not saying eavesdrop, but definitely pay attention to what's going on in the space around you, because, you could see somebody rubbing their back and now they need a referral to me. But also just paying attention and listening to what's going on around you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being more present.
Absolutely. What about one business tip that you wish you had learned sooner?
Hire the accountant right away.
There's got to be a story behind that.
Nothing major. Right. I didn't go bankrupt. Okay. I just know that if you're going to be in business, what are your skills and strengths and what is not?
All right.
And
a lot of times that is
not a numbers person. Yeah. I'm great at marketing. Obviously, I'm an artist. I've got a good creative eye. Mm-hmm. I love business. I love education. I just don't really care about the numbers.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to.
So almost know your strengths, know your weaknesses,
yeah.
And get folks to help in the weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Delegate, too, because that stress is real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then finally, before we shut it down, what is the most profound piece of advice that you wish you had known sooner, just about life in general?
Live with less. You don't need all that stuff.
All right. Why do you say that? In this consumeristic age that we live in.
The credit card debt from going to Target.
Yeah.
And Walmart and just wherever, thinking that you need those pillows or you need that outfit. It's just not necessary. I moved in my later years. I got rid of a lot of stuff and that was wonderful. But in Virginia, I had a 2,700 square foot house and now I have about 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have less stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned something earlier, you know, the holidays and, you know, eating with in moderation, mm-hmm. right? Is one of those things that you look to do. Sounds like living in moderation is something that's not a bad idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle Rush, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. And hopefully we can do it again sometime, all right?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!